open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth asked for me. Open my eyes, illumine me. Spirit divine, love of my life, I am crying.
Welcome to New Realities. This is Alan Steinfeld, and tonight I'm being joined by my co-host, Patricia Taylor. Say hello, Patricia.
Hello, Patricia.
Very good. And we have an old friend, a very exciting guest tonight on the show, Ariel Ford, who has a book just out in paperback, The Soulmate Secret, and she's going to be talking about this Soulmate Summit that's coming up. Welcome, Ariel.
Hi, how are you guys?
Very good. You know, I loved our little talk before about soulmates, and that really opened me up to new possibilities. And we could sum up that, but I think we should maybe just mention what the summit's about, and then we can go right into the book. How's that?
Sure. Well, on Valentine's Day, my friend Claire Zaman and I have created the Ultimate Soulmate Summit, and it's an 11-day free online series featuring some of the world's top love and relationship experts. We have John Gray, Gay and Katie Hendricks, Neil Donald Walsh, Dr. Helen Fisher, Dr. Pat Allen, Christian Carter, just the best experts in the world, and you can sign up for free and get all this information on how to have more love in your life, how to manifest a soulmate. Just go to soulmatesummit.net, soulmatesummit.net, and all the information's right there.
Wow. They could tell people they heard about it in this program, though, couldn't they? New Realities?
Of course.
Okay, but that sounds like an incredible lineup of people who, because these are really the leading edge people within our culture that's flowering here. And how were you able to connect with all these people and just...
I called them up and I told them what we were doing, and they were more than happy to participate because everybody knows that right now the planet needs love, lots and lots of love. And as my soulmate, my husband Brian, always says, when you have two soulmates together, the math changes. It's no longer 1 + 1 = 2. It's 1 + 1 = 11. Because soulmate love is so potent that you can spread it around to lots and lots of people, not just the two of you.
Well, I think that's sort of where you are really great in focusing this new paradigm of love and relationships. It looks like something different than it did in the past.
Yeah, I think that's true. And, you know, at this point, people are ready to sort of be all chakras connected. You know, we're in a state where men and women are really equals. We don't have to get married for financial security or to be protected from the bears and the wolves. So we choose to come together in partnership, in divine partnership, and find a way that we can become our highest and truest selves and together as a couple serve the world.
Mm. Ariel, how would I know if I found my soulmate? How would I know that that's the one?
Well, you know, there's lots of different ways to answer that question. One of the things that I advise people to do is when you're manifesting a soulmate, create a soulmate wish list that has the heart qualities and traits that your heart's really calling for and a description of the type of relationship that you want. And this is not a physical description. It's like, you know, do you want somebody who's kind, loving, generous, compassionate, faithful, high integrity, into health and fitness, those kinds of qualities. Mm. And you don't always recognize your soulmate right away. I was very fortunate. The day that Brian and I met, we knew. We just knew. We were both so ready. And 3 weeks after we met, we got engaged. And a year later, we had 3 weddings. But I was talking to one of my relationship experts today, and he was telling me that he didn't know his wife was his soulmate until they'd been married for 6 months. What he did know was that they were great together. They had great chemistry, great communication, great compatibility. They were looking at life from the same vantage point. They wanted the same things. He knew he loved her, but he wasn't head over heels in love with her like he had been in the past. But he knew enough as a man that there was enough there that they were going to have a great life together. And it was a sad incident 6 months into the marriage where she miscarried, and he was holding her hand, convincing her that they would have a great life with or without children, that he finally had the aha moment. Oh, my God, this is my soulmate. I am fully committed to her forever. So, you know, how do you know? You know, most soulmate couples just know, and sometimes it takes a little longer.
So what if you just know and you meet someone and then you write down, you know, your wish list of what you want them to be and it's not compatible?
You know, there's more than one soulmate in a lifetime for everybody.
So, oh, really?
Yes. I don't know who started that terrible myth that we each only get one big love in a life, but it's not true. It's an absolute myth. So you can have multiple soulmates at once. And we should have started at the beginning, which is, here's my definition of a soulmate. Mm-hmm. I believe a soulmate is somebody that first and foremost you can completely be yourself with, somebody with whom you share unconditional love, and when you look into each other's eyes, you have the experience of being home.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you accept that definition, then I would challenge you and say to you, you already have many soulmates in your life. It could be your children, your siblings, your parents, your neighbors, your business partner, your coworkers, or, you know, look at Oprah and Gail King. They are best friend soulmates, right?
Yeah.
Or
yes.
Ben Affleck and Matt Damon, best friend soulmates. So start looking into your life to see what soulmates you already have. And think of ways you could give them more love, appreciation, and gratitude. Because when you're doing this, you become a magnet for even more love, and it's easier to pull in a romantic soulmate when your attention is already on the love you have.
That's really beautiful. Yeah. And, you know, what makes your statement so powerful is that I know you and Brian personally, and I can see that there is this beautiful connection. He's just an amazing guy, and you are so together with each other. It's just great to watch. So you're not just saying things. They're coming from your deep personal experience, which I appreciate, Ariel.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I have to say that being with your soulmate is like, it's like the best of everything. And in fact, I recently wrote an article for some magazines about it, because I realized whenever I was with other soulmate couples, we would talk in these hushed voices like, aren't we so lucky? And isn't it so amazing how even after 12 years, the relationship gets better and better? And I thought, you know, why are we whispering? Why aren't we shouting this from the rooftop so people would be inspired to want to be with their soulmate? And part of the reason we were whispering is because we didn't really want to rub it in anybody else's face that, you know, I've got a soulmate and you don't. But the truth is, when you're with your soulmate, you know, water tastes wetter, air smells sweeter. There's a level of trust and understanding, and there's just this deep soul-level connection that makes every day easier.
But are you saying, I mean, most relationships have a little work involved. You know, there's like
Absolutely. I'm not saying that there are never difficult moments in a soulmate relationship, because that would be delusional. Yes, like all relationships, you have to learn to navigate them, and there are good days and bad days. I think the difference is that the soulmate couples I've talked to are committed to making the relationship come first in their life and making choices and decisions as to not what is what going to serve me or you, what's going to serve the relationship.
And
so when you're looking at it from that point of view, it's easier to make decisions.
Mm-hmm. And what about birth signs? Does birth signs have any, you know, compatibility, or does it work or not because of a birth sign?
You know, my understanding of astrology is that you really have to look at the complete chart of both people. Mm-hmm. You know, so the birth sign, you know, I'm a Capricorn, Brian's a Gemini.
So am I.
Is that the reason we get along? Oh, okay. Well, the reason we get along is because my moon is in Gemini and his is in Taurus. And when you put our charts together, there you can see the compatibility.
Yes.
But I'm not a professional astrologer, but I am someone who enjoys both Western and Vedic astrology, and I find it useful.
Mm.
Okay.
So when I talked to you before, and I think you really helped me, at least have a co-host, that's a start. But you said there's certain things I needed to do to make my life available for the soulmate to show up. Can you review those for me again? Because I think
I
did.
You know, that was a conversation we had a long time ago, so who knows what I said. But the truth is there's a lot of elements to look at. The first one is this the right time in your life to have a soulmate? You know, like we just were discussing, soulmate relationships take love and time, energy, attention, and nurturing. So if your life is so crazy busy right now that you don't have 5 minutes to take time for yourself, chances are you're too busy to nurture a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And rather than beat yourself up for thinking, oh, but I should make time, give yourself a break and say, you know what, I am in this very, very hectic, busy period of my life, but 6 months or a year from now, I can design things differently and I can make time for a relationship. And when you get to that point, when you are making time, I would start blocking out chunks of time for dates. And even if you don't actually go on a date during that time, it's a good habit to get into making space, making room in your life to spend time with another human being. And if no one shows up in that time, then go off and be by yourself. Do what I call savoring the waiting. Enjoy these last days or weeks of months of being single and do things that are really going to nurture you.
Right. That was one thing that I do remember, making space. But it's always probably a good time to meet your soulmate, I would think. What could be more important? How busy could one be?
Well, let's say you're a single parent and you're working two jobs and you have a special needs kid. I mean, there could be a million reasons why now is not the time. For instance, my sister Debbie is absolutely clear this is not the time for her to have a soulmate in her life. Her career is busy and her 16-and-a-half-year-old son is in the 11th grade and she wants to spend this next year and a half being with him and enjoying his last days at home. And once he's off to college, then there will be the time and space and energy to welcome in a beloved.
Mm.
And what if you have two soulmates that both have, you know, busy schedules, and they know that they're soulmates, but there's no way they can, you know, they can make it work? How does that eventually just come together when the time's right?
You know, it's really hard to say. If one of those two people wants a relationship now, then they just need to trust and move on and know that there's another soulmate coming. Because as I said earlier, you don't get just one. Right now, there are close to 7 billion, billion people alive on the planet. About half of them are single.
Mm.
So statistically, the odds are completely in your favor that love is on the way if you put out the cosmic welcome mat.
Right.
You
know, some of the things that you also, I do remember that you told me, was making space in my life, in my closet.
Yes, in your closet, yes. So here's how you know you're serious about manifesting love. You prepare your home for them. And this is a multi-step process. The first step is clearing out the old energies of anybody else who used to live there. Let's say you're divorced and your ex moved out. You want to clear their energy out of the space. Now, you can do this by hiring a professional energy worker or feng shui person. You can sage the place, or the easiest thing to do is on a sunny day, open all the windows and the doors, take your broom, and using your imagination, sweep their energy out the front door and out the back door. Mm-hmm. Then you want to, you know, get rid of the clutter, any clutter that you have in your house. And any photos or mementos of you and ex-lovers, I want you to put those away. Now, notice I didn't say throw them away. You don't have to throw them away. But it would be wise to put them away, put them out of sight, because the last thing you want is somebody new coming into your house, you know, looking at your picture saying, oh, who's this, Alan, who's this woman in the picture with you? Is that Corfu? Oh, and you're saying, oh, no, that's my ex-wife, and suddenly you're into a conversation on a first date that you never meant to have that early. So put those items away. Then if you can afford to, buy a new bed. If you can't afford a new bed, at the very least, buy new sheets. Then I'd like you to make some space in the closet. And I know for you New Yorkers, this is hard. I know space is a premium. But at least make 2 inches of space, empty space, where they could at least hang a shirt. Empty a drawer in your dresser. Completely empty.
Just make keep sure it empty. Just keep the drawer empty until
whenever she
shows
up. I'm going to tell you why in a second. And, you know, make sure the nightstand on their side of the bed is totally empty. And make a little space on a shelf in the medicine cabinet. And even if you're thinking to yourself, she's crazy and I'm never going to live in this apartment when I meet my soulmate, the reason you still need to do this is because nature abhors a vacuum. Mm. And when you create this empty space, the universe hears you and brings you somebody to fill it up with their stuff. That's why you do it.
Wow. No, that's good. I like that. And what about all the closet space for the shoes that are supposed to come? And no.
All the Milanos and the Jimmy Choo's.
No, but the other thing that I wanted you to talk about, the thing that you actually did with yourself, I think it was a list, and when to make, to have, and then Brian appeared, like there was something specific.
Oh, okay, yes, I know what you're talking about. So every day at sunset, I used to meditate, and I would put on some Gregorian chants, and I had this big comfy chair that I would sit in, and I would do this meditation, and at the end of my meditation, I would have a dialogue with my soulmate in my head. I would talk to him. I didn't know his name. I didn't know what he looked like. I didn't know where he was, but I would have a daily conversation with him with my eyes closed. And one day, I could feel his energy in the room. And it was so intense that I almost opened my eyes, but I was afraid to because I thought, well, what if I open my eyes and he's really there? But I could feel him in the room. And a few months later, when Brian and I actually met and we started talking about our lives and where we met, I discovered that during that period where I could feel his energy, he was living in a hotel across the street from my condo.
Wow.
So he literally was in the neighborhood.
Mm. So it's more than just the law of attraction. There's like a deeper calling to the universe that goes out from the heart that in a way, this is how we're supposed to live, I think. It feels
You know, I've been working with the law of attraction for 25 years now. And I first began using it in business, and that's where I discovered that it was really potent and really worked. I manifested this incredible career as a book publicist. I worked with Deepak Chopra for 12 years, Marianne Williamson, Wayne Dyer, Don Miguel Ruiz, Gary Zukav, Neil Donald Walsh, all of these folks. Using the law of attraction, I manifested my favorite authors into my life and then worked with them. And then one day at the age of 44, I woke up, realized I was 44, had never been married, and decided that it was time for me to have a soulmate. And I looked at all the law of attraction tools, techniques, prayers, and rituals that I'd used for my career and decided to systematically apply them to my love life. And they worked. They worked brilliantly. And within 4 months, Brian and I met, and, you know, we've now been married almost 13 years.
Yeah.
Wow. Congratulations.
And he was looking as well, right? He was.
No, actually, he wasn't looking. At the time, he had just ended a relationship. So he wasn't consciously looking for me. But what happened was I started to appear in his dreams. He literally saw my face in his dreams, which is why on the day that we met for the first time, he recognized me. And I recognized him because I had clues and dreams that I had. I didn't see his face, but I had other clues. So when I met him, I knew who he was and he knew who I was.
It's beautiful.
Oh,
it really is. So is there like something else that happens to us spiritually in meeting our soulmate? There seems to be like a deeper fulfillment on an incarnational level. Do you know what I mean?
Well, I really believe soulmate relationships are karmic. And I know Brian and I have had many past lives together, and some of them we've even remembered, and not all of them were pleasant. I woke up one morning feeling very angry at Brian because I had remembered two past lives where he had left me. He had abandoned me for religious missions. Mm. And he looked in my eyes that morning, and before I even said anything to him, he had the same memory. And rather than me having to say, "I can't believe you left me," what came out of his mouth was, "I'm staying forever. I'll never leave you again."
Oh, I've got chills.
That's really beautiful. That is. So where is it? So now that you've met your soulmate, you've created an incredible career, you're known around the planet. I mean, what personally are you looking for? What fulfills you? Where are you going?
You know, I don't actually make long-term plans. I'm not a planner. I'm very much sort of a in the moment. But the things that really get me excited is every morning when I wake up, Brian and I go for a walk. That's like something to wake up to. It's really fun. I never know what he's going to talk about. We share our dreams. I really like to travel to India and places like that. I like creative projects. I'm writing a new book right now, which I have to deliver in 2 weeks. I'm kind of on deadline, and Brian's editing the book as I go.
What's it about?
It's called Wabi Sabi Love, How to Find Perfect Love in Imperfect Relationships. And Wabi Sabi is the ancient Japanese art form that finds beauty and perfection in imperfection.
Oh,
so
nice.
It's a very unique book. Nobody's actually ever applied the art form to relationships, but I'm giving it my best shot, and I'm very excited about it. So, those are the things that turn me on. I love getting to talk to, people like you guys on radio shows, sharing this message of possibility, because what I've learned is the Soulmate Secret didn't just work for me. It worked for my 80-year-old mother-in-law. It's worked for dozens of my friends, and it's worked for thousands of my readers. Every single morning when I check my email, I have emails from 50 countries around the world where my book is published of people sharing their stories of how they're now engaged or married or about to have a baby with their soulmate. And, that's really exciting.
No, that is great. And I guess what I get the sense from you that now that you have a lot of satisfaction in your life, you're here to really give back and help lift the planet up to this next level that seems to be coming to us in our spiritual culture.
Yeah, whatever I can do, to help people find more love, that's what I want to do. And that's why Claire Zammit and I created the Ultimate Soulmate Summit, because we were having this conversation six months ago. It's like, well, what can we do this year for Valentine's Day so that everybody could be as happily married as we are? And we started brainstorming it, and we started talking about all the other love experts that we're friends with, and what if we all came together and we all shared our information for free? So that's how the whole thing came about, and we're kicking it off Monday on Valentine's Day at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. You can sign up for free at soulmatesummit.net. And I just found out today Marianne Williamson is going to kick us off with a beautiful invocation to get us started. So anybody who's listening, if you're single, go to soulmatesummit.net. It doesn't get any better than this. It's free.
It's totally free? I mean, why?
Yes, it's totally free. Because we wanted to give that as our gift. So for 11 days, you'll be able to go online, and every day we have two different speakers, and for 24 hours, you'll be able to listen for free.
Wow, I'm going to do that.
Again, what is the time of that?
It's 6 p.m. Pacific on Valentine's Day, 9 p.m. Eastern, but you have to pre-register at the site, soulmatesummit.net.
And then it'll be streamed live as it's happening?
Yes, you'll get once you register, you'll get an email that'll tell you how to go online to access everything. I'm going to email you the press release on it so you have all the details.
Email me everything. I'll put it on my website, but I think it's a great idea. I mean, is there things that some of these experts will be saying that maybe we haven't heard before? I mean,
Well, that's been the best part for me because I've been doing these pre-calls with him and learning so much. It's just, it's really been amazing. In fact, let me pull up some
Give us
notes
a taste of what you've been learning, that because you've been around and if it's been for you.
One of the really interesting things, we have a woman named Allison Armstrong, who is one of the guests, and she was talking about how when people are making their soulmate wish list, they're really focused on the traits and qualities they want the partner to have. Mm-hmm. But Allison suggests, what is the gift that you're bringing to the relationship? Mm-hmm. You know, and what's the gift that you have to give? And she was telling a story about how one of her clients was like Susie Homemaker, and she just loved to cook and entertain and create experiences for people on holidays. And she ended up marrying a man who had zero interest in food or celebrations. And it was like wanting to have a baby and being married to somebody who didn't want to have a baby. And so they got divorced because they weren't compatible. And now she's married to a soulmate who is a gourmet just like her, loves everything about food, loves to entertain, loves to make the holidays special. And she's now fulfilled because she's giving her greatest gift to the relationship.
Well, going back, that's one of your secrets, is make a list of everything that you want in a mate. But then you're also saying, she's adding, make a list of everything you're giving in the relationship.
Even if it's just one special gift. You know, we'll be talking to Dr. Helen Fisher, who's the world's leading biologist on the chemistry of love and attraction. She's at Rutgers. And she's the genius behind Match.com and Chemistry.com. She's just amazing. And she's going to be talking about how and why letting go of a past love is harder than kicking a cocaine addiction and how to break free. She'll actually be taking people through the steps. So if you've been dumped and you're still in love with your ex and you're suffering, you don't want to miss Dr. Helen Fisher. And Dr. Pat Allen is also going to be talking about that. She's got a 60-day plan to detox from a bad relationship and how to heal a broken heart. And she's also going to be sharing the four types of communication that tank a relationship. And she's also going to be talking about the five-second flirt techniques. Even the shyest people in the world will be able to do the five-second flirt techniques. So that's just a taste of what we're going to have on there.
No, that's very exciting. Actually, the more you talk about it, the more it's like, oh, yeah, I can use that.
Yes.
Maybe not the flirt technique, because I think I have
No, you're
that,
a pretty good flirt, I have to say.
Yeah.
No, there's definitely something there for everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the thing that we've really discovered is that, you know, anyone who's having a hard time with relationship, they're usually failing in one of four areas. Either they're stuck in the past and they're obsessing about somebody who doesn't love them, mm-hmm. or they're stuck with a belief that they're meant to be alone or some kind of identity that stops them from being with somebody, or they just don't really know how to be in sync with a partner. They just don't have the skills. Or the fourth area is they're just really bad at dating. They have really bad dating strategies. They don't give people a chance. You know, they look at somebody for 10 seconds and make up their mind without ever really knowing them. So all four of those major areas will be covered by our 25 experts and at one point or another in their talks. And each talk is an hour long.
So you were saying, really, no one has to be alone if they learn their own self and these skills, really.
Yes. No, the thing that I've really learned over the years is that being alone is a choice. You know, in fact, somebody did some statistics recently that came up with there are 1.3 million possible mates for every single person. You know, so if you're out there thinking, you know, it has to be a certain way, you're really limiting yourself. You know, and chances are you may not even know yourself well enough to know what's going to make you happy. You know, and if you've had a certain type and you've struck out many times with that type, you know, hello, what's the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. So I'm just saying, you know, tune in for this. It's not going to cost you anything but a little time. And maybe something one of our experts will say will shift you just enough for you to open your heart just a few inches and let some new love in.
Well, thank you, Ariel. That's beautiful.
Thank you very much.
It's really a great service. And, you know, you just keep giving back and keep sharing the love that you and Brian are generating. And it's beautiful what you're doing. So I appreciate this Soulmate Summit that you're doing.
Thank you so much. And the last thing I want to mention before I go, my book is out in paperback now. And if you go to soulmatesecretbook.com, you can get the book there with a bunch of great bonuses, including a 90-minute audio workshop and a free ebook and a visioning video and all kinds of stuff. And I think today the book is only $10 on Amazon. So at soulmatesecretbook.com, everything I use to manifest the love of my life is in there. And if you're serious about wanting love, I would suggest you spend $10 and check it out.
And Ariel really did manifest the love of her life and met him.
Yeah, you've met him. You know what he's like.
I like him. He's a great guy. You know, he's like, and you're perfect for each other. And it's great to see that practical wisdom, that practical application. You're not just philosophizing. You're using it in your life. So will you be on the Soulmate Summit? Are you?
Claire and I are the hosts. You'll hear us every single day. And we'll also be sharing our story and how we did it as well.
So that's soulmatesummit.com.
.net. Soulmatesummit.net.
And if people are listening, they can sign up right now for starting February 14th, Valentine's Day at 6 p.m. West Coast time and 9 p.m. East Coast time for an ongoing series for free. For free. How does that work for free? How do you get that? They just wanted to do it, huh?
You just give me your email address and sign up, and that's it. It's really easy.
All right, great.
Okay, great talking to you guys. Thank you.
Thank you.
I look forward to seeing you again soon.
Thank you.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Right, that was Ariel Ford with the Soulmate Secret and the Soulmate Summit that's coming up. On Monday, I guess that's Monday, February 14th. And our next guest will be, you want to introduce our next guest?
Our next guest will be Laura Day. And Laura Day wrote the book, The Circle, and also an incredible book called How to Rule the World from Your Couch.
And her website's Practical Wisdom, Practical Intuition.
Yes.
And so she is a psychic, intuitive, empath, however you want to call that. So Don at BBS, can we get Laura on the line? And we'll just talk to her about her latest book. And Laura, are you there?
I sure am.
Oh, thanks for being on New Realities. This is Alan.
Well, thank you.
Hi, Laura. It's Patricia Taylor here.
And you've actually met Patricia.
Yes, we met at Barnes & Noble's at the Grove in L.A. in 2009.
Wow. Yes, I love the Grove.
And so would you rather talk about your latest book? Or, I mean, I think The Circle is just an amazing...
I love talking about The Circle because it's something that people can... You know, they dovetail into each other, but The Circle is something that people can do in groups.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. How? Because when I'm looking at the book, it gives you really nice rituals to do with yourself to create what you want. And in groups, how would that work?
Well, when groups get together, and I actually do a free group every month, but when groups get together, they very quickly go over all the steps together. So without going into depth in any step, they remind themselves of each of the steps. And then... People as a group pick out one step to work on together at each meeting. So, for example, at our last meeting, I think we worked on making space and transformation, which is, I think, one of the hardest steps. Mm-hmm. And people use their intuition and they use their healing in order to really make space to decide, okay, this is what I'm going to let go of. And this is what I'm going to use that new energy for.
Well, it's interesting in that chapter on making space, you talk a lot about new realities, which is the name of this show. And how would you describe the creation of a new reality?
Well, our reality in the moment is usually just a series of patterns that we've constructed over however long we've been alive. And what we can do, both as a group and a virtual group and consciously, is to create something new consciously. So to say, okay, this is what my old reality is, and this is what I'm struggling with. But this is what I choose as my new reality. And then one of the wonderful things about intuition is that, unlike imagination, which relies on experience, intuition can give you the new inspiration, the new data, the new abilities to be able to create a new reality in your life. So something that is completely different from anything that you've ever been exposed to before.
Yeah. Can you talk about a little bit about the metaphysics maybe behind intuition as opposed to imagination? I mean, like, where on a soul level, let's say, this comes from to move us to new places?
Well, you know, I love the word metaphysics because really metaphysics now is just physics. And it works on the idea, in my understanding, that we are one energy. There really is not a separation between past, present, and future, between, you know, I and thou. There's really a oneness, and we impose a separation. So that one of the things that we can do is to employ practices that remove that separation so that we can transform what it is we think of as reality.
Because reality is not very solid. I mean, it's not very defined. It's very fluid. And what I try to do on this program is actually show that reality is not what we think it is at all, that it's just a limitation of our conditioning. And I think that's what you're doing in this book, is having people break out of their conditioning.
Well, I also think that one of the things I love about the circle is that you begin the circle by picking one single thing that you want to change or that you want to bring into your life. And there are many advantages to making that choice. But one of the advantages is that you clearly see your own power in creating, because we tend to give that power away to all different kinds of magical ideas, whereas we are the source of that power. I mean, we are ultimately the source of everything. And when we employ our connection to that greater us, so that connection between us, between ourselves and what's around us, we really can create and do create anything.
Mm-hmm. And you know, you talk in the book also about taking baby steps towards this. Like, you meaning like not to try and leap into it and expect it's going to happen, just to really carefully tread on during this process?
Well, often when something happens immediately, we sabotage it, because it takes, you know, that we're such complex creatures as human beings, that it takes so many different parts of us to even come to terms with the idea of change. It's very important to pick a path, to stay on the path, and then to see where it takes you.
Well, I think that's a really interesting point, because people are secure and they feel safe in knowing what reality is. If you ask people to change, it doesn't have to bring up fear, but I think it does bring up fear, because it means like they're not sure what's out there. And I think that's the negative side of our conditioning, you know, to stay safe and secure, and we miss the whole new reality that's possible.
And I also think that people, I mean, we are mammals and we are programmed to avoid change. Change is supposed to feel risky, because, you know, it is. Change requires a whole new set of tools, often a whole new set of beliefs, and it is the process and not the destination. I mean, it's so important to learn those day-to-day empowering moments that we can then replicate for the rest of our lives.
Mm-hmm. The empowering moments such as like embracing the change, is that what you mean?
Not so much embracing the change, yet that as well, but also to, you know, the moment that you realize that you can tell what someone else is thinking or doing, or you can send effectively a message from a distance, or that when you make a choice, that all of a sudden things around you in the world begin to happen to move you in the direction of that choice without your having to do a single other thing. So to really notice the power that you as an individual have to create those kind of changes in your lives. And I think that you know, once again, because we have had so much time as adults to create patterns,
right,
it often does take some time. I mean, sometimes it happens quite quickly, and I think often that's more traumatic than when it does take time. I taught the circle once in the Toronto school system, and I loved teaching it to young people because I thought, gee, these people, you know, these 13 and 14 and 15-year-olds have the opportunity right now, before they're really out into the world, to be able to use the circle and use intuition in a way where they are conscious, choosing, empowering each other, working in community for the rest of their lives.
Beautiful. And I think the other thing that you're teaching people is that magic exists. That
yes, yeah. You speak in the book about wishing and fantasy being, you know, being a sister of fantasy, wishing.
You know, so people can expect like there's something out of their paradigm is possible. Mm-hmm. And that these, it's okay, like when you start to move in a particular direction, the universe opens up to you and gives you things you haven't expected that support you. That is magical. It's a sign that we exist on many levels at once. I mean, does that make sense?
Absolutely. And I think that's so important to remember, that we do exist on many levels at once, and we tend to get very stuck on one single, you know, level of the day-to-day survival. This is what I need. This is what I have. This is what I don't have. And sometimes we miss the big picture, and the big picture is what gives our lives meaning, because there are not enough things to give enough, you know, there are not enough successes. There are not even enough loves to give your life meaning if you can't find the meaning in yourself.
So this new book, Ruling the World,
How to Rule the World from Your Couch.
Yes.
It is really a textbook on intuition. So it's how do we, as companies, as families, as individuals, how do we use our brain in a whole new way to be able to get the information we need to create change?
And how do we do that? I mean, I know it's a whole book, but I mean...
I was about to say, gee, I wrote a whole book on that.
I know.
What I do is I take apart the spokes of intuition, because we tend to think of intuition, you know, as just one big mass of abilities. And actually, intuition is a collection of abilities, a collection of sense extensions. So the ability to see something in the future, or feel someone at a distance, or accurately describe some place that we've never seen before. And it takes apart all of these abilities like telepathy, precognition, remote viewing, and allows the reader to do it for themselves. And then, of course, to teach it, hopefully, to one another and to their companies. I mean, one of the things that I have been doing in especially my last three books is creating books that people can do in groups, in weekly groups or monthly groups together, where they actually train each other, and they train each other in community so that they have each other as intuitive resources and healing resources to use, you know, indefinitely. So they actually form intuitive and healing communities.
I think it's great what you're doing, because you're taking all this out of the kind of occult or even the kind of new age or spiritual circles, and you're making it very mainstream and very matter of fact. And you know, I've been trying to do it the other way, taking coming from the kind of metaphysical and the kind of spiritual circles and putting that into, trying to get that into the mainstream or putting that there. But you're coming from that place and you're bringing people to a whole new sense of what's possible. And I think that's great. And I'm happy you're doing that.
Well, thank you. You know, I think it's easier for people initially to accept things in a language they understand.
Yeah.
And then you and I may be saying exactly the same thing, but often it's easier if people can kind of place it in their lives in a way that makes sense. I mean, I enjoy good ritual as much as the next person,
mm-hmm.
and I believe in it, especially when you do it in a group. I mean, on my website, every week I post a new group exercise that we do all together as a group. And I find them very, I look forward to them every week myself, because I find it so powerful, you know, the occult, the working as a group and moving time and removing oneself and one's dreams from time so that they are in that sacred space where they can be created and they can be created quickly. However, I think mainstream America is not quite ready for that yet in of language.
I know. I'm a little avant-garde. We're a little avant-garde here in that sense. But you've been doing this a long time, and you're sort of self-taught in a way, aren't you?
I mean, well, actually, I had the good fortune to be taught as a test subject, because when I was very young, there was a lot of testing that was being done on parapsychology, and I was one of the people who was tested. And so a lot of the information that I got was really from being a lab rat, really coming from science and then adding belief to science.
And where did that happen? Where was that going on?
It was going on, well, all over. It was going on in the U.S. It was going
on
in Italy.
For you, where were you being studied? Who were you being studied by?
The very first study I ever did was the University of was a combination of the University of Rome and the University of Paris. This is 1970. It's a long time ago, and it was a really very powerful experience for me, because I was, you know, taking something that for me was something quite normal that I did all the time and demonstrating it for people who didn't realize they were doing it all the time.
Wow. So, I mean, now that this stuff is out there now, do you see a big change in the paradigm and the worldview that people are, or the general public is coming from?
You know, I would say, I forget what the statistics are, but there's some amazingly high statistic of people who actually do use some form of the occult or intuition in their everyday life. You know, so it's something like 76% believe.
Wow.
But is that filtering into a bigger, I mean, it seems like it is. It seems like spirituality is becoming much more mainstream, and perhaps people are moving away from the old-time religions more. and knowing this greater part of themselves. That, I mean, that's my hope anyway.
Well, you know, I think that people find spirit wherever they find spirit, and the important thing is to find it. So if you find it as a traditional Christian, great, or, you know, a Jew or a Wiccan or whatever, however you find that part of yourself that connects you to the rest of the world and gives you meaning, I think that that's the important place to find it.
Well, so, but I find that things seem to be changing. Don't you think so, Patricia?
Yeah, no, they're changing all the time, but rapidly, actually.
I mean, as far as people opening up to more, trusting their intuition, it just seems like these kind of conversations are becoming more every day. I mean, just the people you're reaching, Laura, you know, I mean.
Well, I think that the usefulness in terms of, first of all, I think that, people, you know, it's certainly a more open discussion than it has been in the past. And
yeah.
I think that the usefulness of tools such as intuition in very mainstream things like business and medicine have been proven. I mean, I think that there are more and more really conclusive studies that are showing that, gee, these things work. And let's use them, because we haven't found a lot of other things that work.
But how would you, like, if coming from a scientific model, how would you say it does work, intuition? I mean, how would you explain it from that old science?
Well, you know, I think that, once again, I don't think that anyone has come up with the conclusive theory of how it works. But what people have done, and the first televised experiments on sleep telepathy were done 50 years ago. 50 years ago. That's a long time.
Mm.
So what has happened is that there's a huge amount of data available now that shows that these things do work, that precognition, telling the future, does work and works predictably, and sleep telepathy does work, and we can send a message to a receiver and a receiver gets it. And so how it works, you know, we don't even know how the human body and brain works, and
right.
We've been taking those apart for heaven knows how long.
Right.
Do know the conditions under which it works most of the time. And I think that the same is true for intuition and healing.
And do you also believe in when you do the circle, you write down a lot of these things you want to manifest in the circle? You also, Laura.
You also make it.
You write down your new reality. And mm-hmm. And then as you go through each of the elements of the circle, I really encourage people to document, because one of the things that happens is people forget what it is that they actually are trying to do. And so they don't see when they succeed in doing it. And so they don't give themselves credit for the amount of power and control they really have in their own lives. One of the most powerful things that you can do is prove to yourself that you work, that your own tools work. And so I really encourage people actually the new circle has my workbook in it. The blue copy of the circle has my workbook
yes.
in it. And I really encourage people to keep a written track of, for example, this week in the circle we're doing synchronicity, to keep track of those meaningful coincidences that happen all week, so that they can see that they themselves have manifested these coincidences in their lives.
Mm.
And that it isn't magic in the sense that it's not without explanation. It is with explanation. There's a methodology that works to be able to do it, and we have that methodology so that if we use it, we can get the results we need.
And there's always a point of reference of how we are actually growing then. It's great.
Yes, and not only growing, but growing in ways that are even better than what it was we set out to accomplish.
Yes, yeah.
Well, I think it's also important, like you said, is to acknowledge when we actually manifest a desire or a wish or something we intend, to just sit back for a moment and to acknowledge that connection to source that brought these gifts to us. That's a like a sacred moment almost.
And we're never, I think that it's that moment where it brings us back to the beginning of the conversation, which is people are looking for meaning, and that connection to source is meaning. I mean, the reality is that is where we begin, that is where we end, and everything in between is simply everything in between, and it's all important, and it's all wonderful, but that connection, that intrinsic connection that we have to one another and to whatever it is one thinks of, and of course everyone has their own individual description of God, but that connection is really what gives power and meaning to everything that we do.
Yeah, no, that's really important. I'm also curious, I mean, I know you work in these books with one-on-one individual kind of experience. Do you ever get like a big picture working with the planet or the group consciousness? I know it starts with the individual, but do you ever get intuitions of that bigger idea?
I think we all do. I mean, one of the things that I'm very careful about is how I phrase things, because I don't think that I do anything that everyone else doesn't do. And that's really what my books are based on. I mean, I may be more aware of it. I may be better known for doing it. But we're all getting all of the time a sense of what's happening in our individual lives, with people we love, in our planet, in our community. And that it's very important to be an active part of all of those things.
Mm-hmm. Are you getting anything about 2012, or is that hype? I'm just curious what you
think. My personal opinion is it's total hype.
Okay.
I mean, I would not empty your retirement funds.
But it's also, you're saying, just do the work, just do your individual, transformation. And I mean, that's what I get from what you're saying.
Absolutely. I mean, my pain is everybody's pain. My success is everybody's success. And I think that that's true of all of us. We are interconnected. And the more that we live life with that idea in mind, the more successful we will be as a society and as a world, as a planet.
Wow. But aside from 2012, do you feel that we are entering a new reality, a different consciousness, a shift here?
I think we're always entering a new reality. It's so funny. I remember when I was in my 20s, California was going to drop into the ocean. It's still there. But everybody was preparing for it. People were selling their homes. Mm-hmm. And, remember 2000? There is no old consciousness that exists. It's all new consciousness, and it's all, of course, tied to the old. And I think we make moment-to-moment decisions about what it is we're creating right now in this moment. And listen, those are hard decisions to make, because we are creatures of habit. We are, all of us, myself included, we are all patterned. It's very hard not to fall into those patterns. It takes a system, which is why I personally use the circle every day, because if I don't, I too fall into those old patterns, and I simply recreate an old reality.
So the circle is really key. And of course, all your books, key to creating new realities, which is why we're talking, because that's all the people I'm talking to on this program are contributing somehow to a change that is personal and global, I feel.
And I think that they're the same thing. I mean, I think that I think personal change, sometimes it's much harder to save your own life than it is to save a country. It's it's really, it takes a lot of courage to live every day. And we have to honor ourselves for that.
Well, thank you, Laura. Are you going to be appearing anywhere?
Everything is always on my website, practicalintuition.com. I add stuff all the time, and I'm actually trying to do a new circle meeting at the Grove sometime in June or in July. So I hope that they find space for me.
I'll see you there, I hope.
Okay. And you,
I love that.
Okay, and you do stuff in New York as well sometimes, right?
I do. I do a free workshop almost every month at Barnes & Noble. I have different trainings that come up. But this next year, especially starting at the end of the summer and fall, I'm going to devote myself to really starting circles all over the country so that people can do this on their own and have meetings on their own.
Well, that would be great. Maybe we'll do a show just about that. We could come down to the television studio and we'll do a show just about that process, possibly.
Sounds great. I would love to.
Well, it's great talking to you.
Thank you so much.
Yes.
Thank you.
Hope to meet you sometime. Actually, I did meet you this last summer at the Hamptons Book Show, but... I'll see you again.
Hopefully we'll do the Grove again.
Yeah. Really look forward to that.
Okay, thanks.
Practical, have a good night.
Practicalintuition.com, right?
Yes.
Okay, feel better. I know your throat sounds a little hoarse, so take care of yourself.
Yeah, go back to the couch.
Thanks, Laura. That was Laura Day, and our previous guest was Ariel Ford, and... anything you'd like to say before we sign out there, Patricia?
I'd like to say thank you very much for listening to New Realities with Alan and myself.
Right. That is Patricia Taylor, and I'm Alan Steinfeld. And if you want to reach us, you can go to newrealities.com. You can check out the YouTube is youtube.com/newrealities. And if you want to reach us here, you can email newrealities@earthlink.net. Thanks for listening. And this is The Song of the Soul by Chris Williamson.
Thank you and good night.
There is no sadness, only a song of the soul.